Smash Factor.
Ripping driver, going for it. Oh my goodness.
How about that tee shot?
That is crazy how far that is.
Wow. John Daly, take a back seat, big fella. How about that drive?
That's an aggressive line.
Look at this, he's just driven the green. He has just driven the green.
I guess, hello world, huh?
Welcome everybody to the Smash Factor. Week 3 of the 2022-2023 PGA season. The Shriners Children's Open out in Las Vegas. Up here on a Tuesday afternoon, kind of squeezing this in during a little lunchtime. A little bit later this week, just kind of in the fall, depending on how my schedule goes, it can be, sometimes I try to get up Monday night, so I'll be up Tuesday morning. If not, I'll squeeze it in Tuesday to have it out, so you at least listen Tuesday night. Wednesday on your commute, still have plenty of time to get things in. We'll get right into it. If you'd like to join us, use the code SMASH, get 20% off. Includes a 7-day risk-free trial that is 20% off, locked in for life. On any package, you can upgrade later on. So if you want to start out with a week, a month, then upgrade. You want to start out content only and then upgrade to the tools, you can do that as well. Some new additions to the Green Machine, our lineup builder, coming here this week. Excited for that. We made some enhancements to the showdown, the way that it's formatted, sorted by salary, stuff like that. And then we're going to make another enhancement to the NFL side, kind of pairing up our projections page with the Green Machine, where you can go to the projections page, you got everything there you need, and you can literally add any player on the projections page straight to any slate inside the Green Machine that you want. So we're looking forward to that. That'll be fun. We're still tweaking on it. Should have it rolled out for this week with more things coming. We'll continue to improve there. We'll have brand new golf interaction platform, everything for 2023 season. We're going to hopefully roll that out by January. Well, basically, will that be Tournament of Champions and then full go by Century. So that'll be our Sony Open will be the first full week. Probably soft roll it out for the Tournament of Champions, only what it'll be 40-man field or so, go through tweaks, stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to all that. Got a lot of things coming up over the next 3 or 4 months on the site. Rate and review us on iTunes. I'll be doing giveaways for Black Friday, week of Thanksgiving, so probably another, about 5-6 weeks. I'll be doing big giveaways again. Subscribe and like this video on YouTube. In the comment section, tell me who you want to play 9K and above. A little bit different pricing. Looks like DraftKings continues to tweak how they're going to do the golf pricing, or at least testing it out. We'll get into that in just a second. But 9K and above, who is your favorite play? There is 10 guys in there this week. Leave that in the description, and that'll get you into that drawing as well. TPC Summerlin, you can get the full breakdown from Kenny Kim on the website. Par 71, 7,250 feet, obviously, 50 yards, I'm sorry. Obviously, a little higher elevation there, so ball goes further than normal. 4 par 3s, 3 par 5s. Altitude, I mean, is what affects the ball a little bit there. Not horribly, but it does have some effect on it. I played this course, camera. I played a few courses out in Vegas, but it definitely does, you know, make a little bit of a difference. If you are on whatever website using tools, if you're on our tools, you can, if you would like, you have the functionality to uncheck what would be, depending on what site you're on. Some call it 2017, some call it 2018, some go by the year, some go by the season. It gets confusing. Meaning, like, this is technically the 2023 Shriners Open, but it's played in 2022. So, however you want to look at it, but the year that Cantley won, on our site, it would be labeled as 2018. That year was an anomaly with the weather, the wind. So what I do on the course fit and course history, when I'm bringing all that in, I uncheck that didn't pull any of those stats in from that year, because it's so far out of the norm that I don't want to see anything from that year. So you can do that if you're on our site. I'm sure other sites have ways too. It's going to be a birdie fest. 20 plus under is going to win it. You got some large bent greens. You know, all kinds of guys have won here. We'll get to that in just a second. So, being able to score, whether you – I don't really think it's a bombing gouge per se, but definitely being in play off the tee, hitting greens and making putts is really what it's going to come down to. You know, many opportunities as you can get. I did bring a little bit of bogey avoidance in this week because I you don't want to have to battle back from too many bogeys. So sometimes that seems counterintuitive when people go, why would you look at bogey avoidance in a birdie fest? But, I mean, it's just a little bit because I don't want a guy – yeah, you can get a bunch of birdies. I do like Cam Davis because I think his game overall has gotten so much better. Actually, it surprised me some of his bogey avoidance. But there was a time – and he can still do this. Much better golfer now, but, you know, we've been playing him for a while – that he had like six birdies in a round and you know, a double and three bogeys, right? In showdown play, he was always great. Now his game is much better. But guys like that, when they're on that kind of tread, I might not want to play him as much this week. Because I'm like, yeah, he can get a bunch of birdies, but I don't know if he's going to be able to score low enough to even make the cut, where you're going to need minus four or five, maybe even six under to make the cut type of deal. So I think we need to look at that a little bit this week. Weather looks perfect. No wind hardly. 90 degrees, sunny. No issues there. Cut, I got around minus four, minus five. Winner, you know, around that 20 under, 21 under. So last 5 years, 6 years, minus 24, 23, 23, 21, 20, and nine. So back to that 2017, 2018, however you want to look at it, the year Cantley won, was nine under, and he won a playoff. So that tells you it was just so much wind out there that it really impacted the course. Outside of that, there's only been 1 year since 2013 that's been less than 20 unders won this. So it kind of tells you you're going to need to go low even to make the cut. I don't see it being – I mean, minus three would be the highest or lowest, however you want to look at it, cut number. I think it's going to be closer to minus four, minus five. So that kind of goes back to why I was talking about the bogey deal. You don't want to have to fight back from a bunch of bogeys. Pars are fine. Make your birdies, get out of there. But, you know, you get a double or – three, four bogeys in a round, that's a lot of birdies you got to make up for it in an event like this. Some prior winners, Sung Jae last year, Party Mari Laird, Nah, Bryson, Cantley, Smiley Kaufman. There's a blast from the past. Webb, some runners up, Wolf, Cantley, Brooks, Nah, you know, who's also won it. Strillman, so a few names there. You see Wolf and Bryson, you kind of think, well, maybe, you know, long off the tee matters. But then you see guys like Rod Pampling, right, who shot 20 under here and won. Nah, 23 under and won with great putting that week. Ben Martin in 2014, 20 under, beat Strillman. So I think anybody can win here. Ultimately, you got to have a hot putter for sure. Now, predicting that, we'll see. I think experience matters on this course, and it kind of shows with some of the guys that have done well. I don't think not playing here at all eliminates you, because you can, you know, we've seen quite a few first-time winners here. But I do think, you know, like Keith, I'll just give you two examples. Keith Mitchell, four straight missed cuts. Homa, three straight missed cuts. Do I take that into consideration this week? Yes. Whereas Cantley's first, second, second, eighth. Sung Jae, 15th, 13th, first. So you can kind of see, you know, if I see a guy like Mitchell or Homa, I'm like, well, something doesn't fit this course for him. But a guy like Tom Kim, never played here. Am I going to discredit that? No, not necessarily. So it's a little bit different than just straight across the board. It's more like a tiebreaker. I'll take a look at it, you know, and all that matters how many times they played as well. Like one or two bad showings isn't the end-all be-all. New to the course since 2017, 33 guys are seeing it for their first time. Salary ranges, I kind of talked about this a little bit earlier. Only three in the 10K, and technically one 11K, two 10K, and then it drops down. I'm pretty sure that's the first time I've ever seen that with PGA, minus a withdrawal after the fact. So it may have been four up there and then someone withdraw. But true pricing out the gate, I don't know that I've ever seen only three up there. We'll get to that in just a second. 7 9K, 10 8K, 44 7K, 73 6K. So, you know, and Tambo can probably – we talked about this decently along with several other things in the PGA world when we were at the Memphis – I'm wearing the hat actually today – at the Memphis deal with the – you know, basically the guy that sets all the PGA contests was there. And then our rep was there, a lot of other guys, and we just, you know, having a few drinks, watching the golfers, and we start talking about this kind of stuff. if you remember that Sunday, it was the first time they ever structured it 25% to first. I think it was 100 to first, 400K pot or something like that on the $20, $25. And that was our suggestion, just to give it a try. And one thing we also talked about was pricing to an extent on not all guys are equal to their odds to the field. What do I kind of mean by that? So I mentioned this, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago. When Rahm's the favorite, you know, in Mexico Open, right? His pricing and then all the other guys relative to the field makes sense. When it's – and this week, I mean, Cantley's pretty – and he's 11-1, but – What our point was, and it sounds like they somewhat are listening, is that not you don't always have to have four or five up in the 10K, 11K range, because the talent gap isn't always equal every single week in those ranges. And it sounds like they're listening. So don't force, you know, a Tom Kim or a Aaron Wise or a Montgomery in the 10K range just to say you have four up there. And they just spread it out. They're still, I mean, they're going to make differences elsewhere, but it makes sense because that gap, we talked about this even last week for sure, the gap between the 6 to the 7, 7 to the 8, 8 to the 9 isn't as big as some of these bigger tournaments where you have all the powers that are there. And I think the reason being, well, I know most of it because I kind of you can kind of backdoor into their algorithm at times, is they were just going off the odds. And they said, well, if this guy's this odds per se, they mix in a little course history, a little bit of that. These guys, whatever the gap is, these four or five are going to go in the 10K. These five or six are going in the 9K. These seven, eight are going to the 8K. And then we'll kind of mix down there and move the rest out. Now they're at least looking at, I don't know what all they're pulling in, but I like it. It's a difference. It's a little bit of a different strategy. Does it lead to more balance? Could. But you probably don't need four or five guys in the 10K range this week. There's probably not that quality of guy. And all it does is lead to concentrated ownership when you do it, because everybody goes, oh, I'm not paying 10-2 for Aaron Wise or 10-1 for Taylor Montgomery. So at least now it brings in more decisions, more different strategies you can build around it. And, I mean, I'm here for it. I'm interested to see what these look like at, you know, Torrey Pines or Genesis, stuff like that. Is it going to be – how are they going to look at that when you got a little more stacked field? Because there, I think they kind of go the opposite sometimes. They make some guys way too cheap because they have the heavy hitters up top. So I'm interested to see. I like that they're at least A, listening, and B, trying things. Let's see. And this is a great time to try, right? Very few people are grinding, you know, fall swing. We are, you know, and there are some out there, but at least now's a good time to try, get some feedback. And they do ask our feedback. And so I like that a lot. Same Sweet 16 for me, 9K and above. I'm going to kick it off. I'm going to go Cantley. It's just hard for me not to say I like him. I mean, won the BMW. Maybe rust would be a factor, but obviously he played in the President's Cup, so I take that into consideration. But a first, second, eighth. I mean, it's hard to go against that, even at the price tag, which isn't horrible, 11-1. I don't see me getting off of him. I'm interested to kind of see how we think the industry adjusts to some of these pricings and stuff like that. Tom Kim, I'm going to go there. I just think the momentum, what he's bringing in. Bent isn't his best surface, but, man, I mean, second and birdie are better, 10th in par 5 DK scoring, first in opportunities outside, inside 18 feet, 15th in good approach, love his stats, 54th at the BMW, 13th at the St. Jude, first time here, obviously, so a little knock there, but, man, I could see him getting a W here by all means. 9,700, I don't mind that at all. Cam Davis, talked about him a little earlier. To my surprise, in the model I built, 15th in the field in bogey avoidance. Really, game is improving consistently. 13th, 35th, and 24th last three tournaments he's played in, including 24th at the Fortinet. 28th, 27th, 52nd here. So, decent history. He's made the cut, which, I mean, so the cuts here, you're talking about at least four or five under, which we know he can score. The biggest deal for him has always been, can he avoid, you know, getting a bunch of bogeys or the big number? I like him. Love the price. I think it's a great price for him. Sungjae is my bubble boy because I'm interested to see where he falls in the ownership. I'm going to have zero of Homa, just none at 10-6. He's never played this course great. He's 102nd in the field in course fit. Can he show up out of nowhere? Could he win this? Absolutely. But I'll have none. I just wonder how many people are going to take that approach, especially with the way he's played here. And you have a drop now between Homa and Wise. And I mean, I don't mind Wise. You know, stat wise, he's going to show up. He's got a fairly good history here. He's a guy that would say, you know, he's got two missed cuts, but he's got an 8th, a 10th, a 15th, and a 32nd. So I don't mind him. Are most people going to just drop from Cantley and go down the 9K? Are they going to get Homa and then M get squeezed out? The reason why I have him as a bubble boy is I truly think he's going to gain ownership there. And I want to see what happens between him and Cantley. Can I afford to play both? Sure. But I'd have to get unique and see how we build around that. But last night, you know, one thing that a lot of people struggle with was sometimes a clear, obvious is the play, and you just got to do it and figure out how else to get around. Last night, every lineup I built, I had Cooper Kupp or Debo, all of them. One of them was in the captain. Majority was Cooper Kupp. But every single lineup I built last night, and I think I had 76 in one contest. All of them had those two. I built the nuts lineup in one of those, you know, so I would have won. I didn't play the Millie last night, first time in weeks, of course, but did tie for first in the other big contest, the $5. I think it was 25 to first. I think we wound up making like, I don't know, it was 14, 1500 a guy. It was like a 30-man train. And the big one, the Millie Maker, was like a 230-guy train. And they won 5,000 each to kind of give you an idea there. I would have been in that if I would have put my lineups in there, but didn't last night. But you had two offenses that were just so clearly focused on those guys. Like, it's rare in the NFL, especially not rare, but very unlikely more times than not, where you go, these guys are going to get theirs, and they got it. So I was like, I'm just not going to overthink this. Is that this way with Cantley and M? No, but man, they look really good. Both of them have 7 starts combined, and the worst one of them's finished is 15th place. Seems like a really good place to start there, and then build around some other places. Does it mean we fade one by Wednesday? Sure, maybe, we'll see. Which right now I would lean fading M, but I can go either way there. If everybody's just gonna play Cantley and move down, kind of like Rom at Mexico, maybe I fade Cantley and I go heavy on M and drop to the 9s. That's something we'll definitely look at as we get closer with the content tomorrow night. 8K range, I'm going back to Pendrith. Like him, love him as a bet. You can get him 50 to 60, somewhere in that range. He's playing so good. 68th, 8th, and 11th, his last three tournaments. Played here last year. I like that. Made the cut. I like that. Didn't do great on the weekend, 47th, but everything else I like about it. Love the price, $8,700. Not going to overthink that. Harmon, a guy I normally don't play very often at all. But $8,900. I'll be honest, right now I don't know how much of the 8K I really want overall. But I have a feeling I may be similar in that theory. So we may get some good leverage spots there. Where if I am going to eat to chalk up top or a decent amount of it, maybe I can find my way in here in some leverage spots. But I do like Harmon. 35th at BMW, 3rd at the St. Jude. Really good history until last year here, a 15th, an 18th, and a 13th. So 3 straight top 20s and then a missed cut last year. 21st in recent form coming in, 30th in course fit, top 25% in bent putting. Stats are just good to solid across the board. Nothing tremendous, but at 8,900, he's a guy that I could see maybe not getting a ton of ownership. Maybe. Sometimes he gets DFS darling level, but he's a guy that I can easily go to if he's going to kind of be overlooked. If people are going M or Cantley, whoever in the 9s, and then dropping to the 7s, which I could see being a very common build. The next one would be Riley. I'll go back there. Loved him last week. Had tons of them. 19th. Coming off of 11th the week before. 54th at the BMW, which isn't great. Remember, that's only 70 guys. 31st at St. Jude, though. 56th there last year. Kind of like Pendrith. I like that he's at least seen it. We know there's all the whispers about the way the brace goes towards the strip. You know, at least seeing it and making the cut in this type of event where you have to score, I like that. Riley is a guy that I think about kind of like Davis, right? Man, he can be going like just birdie, 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 and there's like a triple. He doesn't bogey consecutive holes as much as like Cam Davis did at times, but man, he can drop a triple or a quad out of nowhere. So a little bit concern there, but at 8,800, I really like the price. He could have been 9,300, and I wouldn't have thought too much about it coming off last week. I'm like, I get it in this field. But 8,800, I like it a lot. Maybe gets squeezed a little bit there. So he's a guy I have my eye on. And my bubble boy is Burmeister. Really, the only reason is I just want to see ownership. He's kind of, you know, last week he was catching a little bit, and then he gets a fourth. So he catches a little bit of steam last week, pays people off. Does he get talked up even more? Very limited stats, so you kind of got to go look at the Euro results, stuff like that. And I pull all that in the deep dive, which I do, I'll do later tonight. I like him. I don't want to eat a chalky Burmeister 8,500, but that's why he's the bubble boy this week. 7,000 range, Mito. I'm going to keep playing him until, I mean, I keep thinking and hearing that he's the next to go, to live. You would think, if ever, why wouldn't he now? And maybe he's the guy this week. They kind of had a deal where a guy withdraws and joins, but I would think he would already do it because they're playing this week too. And I've been putting out content for that. Last one was the first full main slate. This will be the second where DraftKings main folk, they're doing a 3-day main slate, basically classic slate. I'll put out stuff probably late Thursday for that. Contests are okay. Not as good as last time, but last time it didn't feel, it was a lot of overlay. So they reduced them some, but anyways, I don't know if he's going. So $7,800, he's stat wise, he looks tremendous and he'll pop in a lot of models. He'll pop in a lot of your optimized places. I don't really do the optimization stuff. I like to do a lot other outside of that. But sixth in good drives, ninth in opportunities, seventh in good approach, 22nd in par five DK scoring, 18th in birdie or better, 40th here last year. So he's another guy that's already seen it once. So I enough there at that price. I'm willing to take a risk on the upside. Callan Terrence, a guy I've loved for a while and definitely growing on me even more. Pays us off last week with the 13th. I liked him a lot last week. I like him this week. 7th in bogey avoidance, 17th in par 5, 28th in birdie or better, 31st in bent putting, $7,000 flat. Love that price for him. Tremendous upside. I think he's got top 20 upside on him. So those are the kind of guys I want to play this week. Taylor Moore. I feel like this price is a little low for him. $7,600. 24th here last year. 31st at St. Jude, 44th at BMW, miscut at Fortinet, 24th last week, 3rd in birdie or better, 33rd in par 5 DK scoring, 24th in opportunities inside 18 feet, 12th in recent form coming in. Bent putting, he's a little bit better than half of the field, so not horrible, but, you know, not tremendous, but what do we? I think we're at 140 this week, or maybe it's back to the same 144. Less field because of daylight. That's what we deal with this time of year. But I like him at that price. I like his upside. I kind of think he's a little underpriced. Let's see if he gets steamed up. Bubble boy be Jaeger. He's been playing really well. I talked him up last week quite a bit. I don't know. I can't remember how owned he was. That's something I was going to look at in my deep dive. I have it marked here on the screen to check ownership from last week. Because the reason why he's bubble boy is if he was higher owned, he finished 30th, 11th the week before. He's first in par 5 scoring, second in opportunities at 18 feet, 14th in birdie or better, 16th in good approach. All key stats I think most people will be looking at. So I could see him, especially when you're talking about your optimization places and all that kind of stuff, automated stuff, he will pop up a lot. And maybe he's a guy I could be off of because I don't want too much chalk in my pool. But I do like him. Liked him last week. The one negative I have on him, and I have another mark, is 107th in bent putting. So I want to see what rounds and where that's counting from. Which he's missed the cut here two of the three times he's played it. He did get a top 20, but it was in the hard year with Cantley. So he didn't have to score as much. Here, two missed cuts since then. That would be my kind of negative against him, especially if he's gaining ownership. I like places other way. But that's what I have him as a bubble boy. I do like him from the get-go, but let me deep dive in and let's see what we're doing there. 6K, I like Gleeglick again. Played him last week. Didn't do much. Made the cut. Got a 45th. Played here 2 years ago. Got a 27th. Third in par 5 scoring. 11th in birdie or better. 14th in bogey avoidance. 24th in bent putting. All things I'm looking at heavy this week. $6,900. I like him. He's in that Taren range of like both those guys. Got her up. I'm just going to keep taking a chance. As long as he's not that like that 1 week, you know, when he first came out. I just love his talent upside. Watched him play, you know, several times at OU this last year. $6,800. I don't think he'll get talked up much. That's a guy I want to take a chance on a week like this. Matt Wallace, a guy I don't play a lot of, but he, you know, $6,900 kind of stood out to me. A 14th here last year. Stats are okay. He's 36th overall, 39th in birdie or better, 31st par 5, 31st opportunities on 18 feet, 6th in course fit, obviously only played 1 year though, 39th in bent putting. So enough there at his price that I'm okay playing it. I don't love a ton in the 6K range, but he's definitely one that I don't mind going to. Chesson Hadley, bubble boy only because of ownership. I mean, this is recent form versus course fit. He's missed his last three cuts. But his 5 years here, he's got a 4th, a 7th, an 18th, a 27th, and he missed a cut 2 years ago. So 4 out of the 5 years, really, really solid. 3 top 18s or better, 2 top 10s. He's 13th in bent putting. He's a Vegas guy, or at least in the area. A lot of reason to play him, but I don't know if he'll get steamed up too much where we don't want to get on him. Ownership would be the only reason why they would probably take me off of him at this point. Fade of the week, already talked about it, Homa. 10-6, he basically has to finish top five at that number. And in three straight miscuts here, everything lines up okay for him. So I can see it. I mean, I can see him doing well. He missed a cut at Fortinet, obviously played in the President's Cup, played well, made a lot of putts, but still, he's 11th in bent putting. He will be a leverage play, in my opinion. The only reason why I could see him getting steamed up is the President's Cup and the people that have probably watched that are still glued into this fall swing stuff and think, oh, Max Homa, I'll play him. That could be the reason. I hope he's owned because it makes the fade easier. When he's like 8%, you're like, should I just take a chance because it's great leverage? We'll see, but I really don't think he'll be that high owned this week. I think most will go down to Sungjae, which is what I'm banking on there. Sleeper of the week, this is kind of hard at this point. Time of the year, but I'm gonna go back to Lee Hodges. I don't know how owned he'll be. 7,000 flat. Last three tournaments, a 13th, a 24th, and a 30th. I liked him a lot last week. He gave us a top 30. And that's what I want from a $7,000. Hey, make the cut and give me a top 20 to 30 opportunity. He played here last year, got 27th. Stats look great. He's 24th in stats, 27th in recent form overall, 27th in course fit, 54th in bent putting. So not horrible, but overall, for that price tag, I mean, all three of those guys I like a lot. Taryn, Gleeglick, Wallace, Hadley, all those guys, 68 to 7. I mean, I don't think I have to get too much lower now. I can get a lot of those guys, assuming that not too many of them are just super high owned, which I don't think many will be. Someone may get up there, but nothing crazy. Gut feel plays, S.H. Kim, up and comer, a lot of positive with him. Played him last week. He got a 13th. Last week he was doing a lot more on the putting, so a little concern there. But 7,200, again, that's why it's a gut feel play. He's 12th in bogey avoidance, first in birdie or better. But his irons can get sideways at times. Limited stats, so I'm not taking too much into it. Dietrich, he's a gut feel play, but I do think he could get steamed up this week because he may be the most underpriced player. And I don't know if it's Euro. And the betting comes in there. He's 66 to 1 when I pulled these numbers, but he's playing really well. 12th at Fortinet, a 9th at Sanderson Farms, 5th in birdie or better. Irons can be better, but overall, I mean, if you go look at the Euro stuff, I'm willing to take a chance on him. Lower. Where is he? I have played this guy a few times this year. He did okay last week, 45th. He is a good putter, especially on bent. He's 12th in the field, 16th in birdie or better, 19th in par 5 DK scoring, 29th in opportunities inside 18 feet. So enough there at 7,100 that I don't mind maybe having some shares with him. I think he's got the talent and still a little bit of raw talent. Just, again, gut feel play and a lower guy that I'm going to have a good amount of guys down there. Nothing overboard, but I'm going to live in that range, play the few, and then just fade the rest of them. Neesmith is a guy that kind of popped for me. I played him quite a while, and he went on a bad, bad run. And I wonder if people still haven't caught back up to it. I think he could get a little bit of notice this week just because of the course history. 18th, 8th, and 14th. So three straight years he's done really, really well here. He's coming in off an 11th and a 9th as well. Stat-wise, just when you're looking at the long, some of those really, if you go look, and sometimes it doesn't matter on your ranges and stuff. We talk about that, especially if you're looking at our tools. Go pull his last 48 and go look at his history there. some of those bad, when he went through a bad swing, are pulling in. So his overall stat model is still down. If you isolate it to like last 16, looks really good. Ninth in course fit. He's midfield in bent putting. So I think enough there that it will keep his ownership in check. So at $7,500, he's a guy I like this week as well. Betting top five of the pop and two long shots provided by PrizeFit. Click the link in the description. PrizeFit and Underdog, dollar for dollar match up to $100. Underdog has some great contests, golf, NFL, little mini drafts, best ball drafts you can do that. I know several guys in the Slack, they always chime in and say, hey, this thing's not going to fill. I saw Sunday morning. I didn't realize. I think they shut it off at 11:30. I think so drafts can end or whatnot, but or 12:30 Eastern time. Several with a bunch of overlays. So you can get in there and get some good leverage on the field and then, you know, no rake in that situation. Or use the picks that I give you for Prize Picks and Underdog. I give them for golf. I give them for NFL. If there's college football ones I like, I give those as well. Again, GUP, get you a dollar for dollar match up to $100. My top five betting right now, I like Pindrith, 50 to 55. Cam Davis, 40. Taylor Moore, 66. Tom Kim is probably the lowest I'd go on the board. I've seen him as good as 30 to 1. Some places 25 to 1, so he's kind of moving down. Burmeister, 50 to 1. Two long shots I like, Taryn 100 to 1 and Hodges 125 to 1. I will put my price picks out when they have them for golf. They haven't yet in the fall swing. Maybe for some of the couple of the big tournaments we have, CJ, some of those used to be WGC. I don't know if they'll have them at all this year for fall. They'll bring it back for sure in the spring for all the big tournaments like we had all year last year. Underdog, again, flirted with some kind of FedEx Cup best ball, so they did it for those three tournaments. I have a feeling that, and I've mentioned this before, that was a test to see how they could do, and they may do some best balls for the PGA season 2023, which I think would be pretty fun and cool that we'd be able to take advantage of that. Don't forget Smash, 20% off any package. You can upgrade at any time. It's locked in for life as long as you stay a member. Fun times. We've had some good it was about a break-even week last week for me overall. I had a lot going on, so I didn't do a lot of showdown. But we had some pretty good winners in showdown last week. It was pretty on our – we had a lot of stuff down on the site that we were getting fixed. That's all fixed now as far as live leaderboard, all that kind of stuff, as we continue to update and upgrade. But I am looking forward to this week. NFL's full force. College football's full force. We got the midseason main event on college football this week. 444, 100K to first up there. So that'll be fun stuff. Wednesday night, college football game tomorrow night. So that gives us Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, football. We love that. But I love mixing in some golf as well. It still takes one of my TVs on the wall when it's on. Most of the time, if things get kind of hot and heavy on Sunday with the NFL, sometimes you have to just go to the phone and scoreboard watch at times. But I still enjoy it. Still enjoy doing the content. Hope you guys have a great day. I will be back I'll drop it tomorrow night or Thursday for the NFL. If you guys have any questions, reach out to me in Slack or on Twitter, and I'll get you taken care of. Have a good rest of your Tuesday, and we'll talk to you later.